now Theme Music Bay, we're finally back. I know we had a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back now. I'm Mira, your host. I'm here with McFreeze.
Oh, I'm so back.
And Hayes.
Hello.
Hayes, we had a little skip there, but we're still here.
Oh no.
You gotta adjust your levels or whatever real fast. But no, we had a little hiatus. We went and did some things. We all went to the Combo Breaker. How about that?
Combo Breaker in beautiful Schaumburg, Illinois, which is basically just outside of Chicago. It was a fucking wonderful times. I got to meet up with some nerds and we all got to eat some good food, play some games. It was fucking awesome.
Oh, they had freaking games there and gamers.
And we have a lot of weed.
You're not going to believe this. McFreeze is tall.
McFreeze is very tall, yes.
I knew that already.
I knew that too, because I'd met him before, but yes. McFreeze is a very tall person.
Yeah, we all got to meet up. It was a really good time. We probably should have taken some more pictures. I think there's like one picture of us all together.
Yeah, there's literally one picture of us all together, I think, but that's okay.
I like to how
somebody no else...
There's no time to take pictures when you're in the mass of humanity all day.
It's true. The event itself was really great. There's just like so much stuff to check out. Even for people who don't play fighting games, I felt like you guys had like a decent amount of stuff for you guys to just do or watch.
It was a great time. Like we had a great time watching the fighting games. The thing is, fighting games are fun to watch, even if you don't play them.
They are. I think they're maybe I'm heavily biased here. I think they're a lot more fun to watch than like even like Overwatch League. I think Overwatch League is fun. You know what's happening, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think no, you're right. It's like the real barrier to entry for watching a video game is that you have to know how the game works, and fighting games are just kind of simpler.
Well, there's you don't need more than one perspective to know what's happening. Like what the players see is what the spectator sees.
That's the big thing. Yeah, because like we like to watch Overwatch because we like Overwatch and we like professional Overwatch, but whatever. But Overwatch is notoriously not a friendly spectator sport because the perspectives just fuck it all up. And they've tried to do whatever they can to make that easier to follow, but it's not easy if you're not familiar with the game. And on all first person shooters, I'm going to say, are like that too. They're just all kind of a pain to watch.
I think MOBAs are the worst example of this, where the camera is just cutting to random people just walking through a jungle, or like you just teleports to a fight just like suddenly happening. And it's because it's such a map-based game. Like I feel like you never have like a solid perspective or idea of what's happening in a given interaction. I don't know. Fighting games are a great example, are just great as a spectator sport.
Fighting games work because you're basically like watching an MMA match, but it's like characters on a screen.
There's health bars.
But there's anime girls.
Yeah, and there's health bars and anime girls, and there's fucking edge guarding. I got to see DaBuzz in person. It was amazing.
And then
I was like, wait, I'm really bored by watching DaBuzz. This is why I stopped watching Smash. But I got to see him in person.
I got to see Leffen in person.
Yeah,
McFreeze, who only knows about Leffen through Deep Leffen.
Hey, did you catch when we were walking out of the arena at one point and McFreeze was saying this? He was saying, I don't even know who Leffen is. I only know Deep Leffen bot. And some guy heard him and laughed and said, that's all you need.
He's right.
Oh, the fighting game community is so helpful.
No, they are. The fighting game community is legit, like, good. And it was fun. It was a good time. Combo Breaker, good time, everybody.
Everyone I met there was, like, super chill. Like, it was awesome just being there. There are some events where you go to where it's, like, I don't know, I get uncomfortable there. But the people that who attended Combo Breaker were pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, everybody was... I think... And this was around the Smash tables, too, so that probably tells you something. I saw people yelling at each other twice, literally, and it was all around the Smash tables. So.
Nice.
Not saying anything against Smash players, just saying that's the only place I saw people yelling at each other.
It was pretty cool. In the bring-your-own-console room, I saw someone had actually brought their fucking N64 in to play Smash 64. And I saw like 10 people just like huddled in around that. There was an entire arcade room with a million arcade games, which is cool. And more importantly, in that room, they had the mystery, tournament where through every game, you just play a random, completely random, like 1v1 game, not necessarily fighting games. It could be anything. It could be Tiny Toons basketball. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, listeners of this show, if you want to hear McFreeze's voice on a Combo Breaker stream, you can look for the finals of the mystery tournament where they're playing some game with bunnies and eggs, and there's a help that appears on screen, and McFreeze led the room in yelling, "Help! Help!" every time the help appeared on
screen.
There's
one thing I can do is look at the screen and say what's on it.
You can also catch me. You also catch me on a stream being led on stage as soon as my first fucking match happens.
Yeah.
And getting destroyed.
You did it.
So listeners of the show will remember last year when Hayes went to Combo Breaker, he ended up on the stage in finals for the Grand Blue Versus. This year, as soon as he got to the fucking Combo Breaker in his first pool, they're like, "Hey, go up on stage. You gotta play."
No,
that
is exactly what I didn't want to happen.
What game was that even? I don't remember.
That was Street Fighter V. I'm not sure which stream. There were more than one running at the pools level.
I posted it on several Discords so we could look it up if we really wanted to. Because I just thought it was funny. And also because people want to see, you know, see Hayes. But we showed up to Hayes's pool, and the first thing Hayes says to me is, "Yeah, I'm about to get bodied." And then I'm like, "Oh, you're going to do fine." And then they're like, "Go up on stream." And I'm like, "Oh, shit, Hayes is about to get bodied."
The worst part of it is that I know that like that guy is like a known player. Like he's not like top level, but like he's no fucking joke. He's the one that got out of pools. And then I get knocked down, and then I get bodied again in my second match. And it turns out that guy, the guy I had in losers, was also really good. And the only player of the guy that eliminated me, Lasu, he lost to the original player that put me in the losers in the first place. So
you just got really unlucky with that, I'm gonna say.
I mean, you know, I felt like I could have played better. I think I could have beaten that first Chun player I fought against, but it is what it is. Yeah, fucking awesome time. Schaumburg has a lot of great places to check out food at. We got to see most important thing that happened at the weekend. London, McFreeze, Mira. We went out to the movie theaters. We saw Fast X. This should be a Fast X cast.
That's true. When's Fast X podcast?
Yeah, just for that one movie, not the rest of the series, just Fast X.
No, just for Fast X. This episode's boring. You don't need to hear about it. Fast X, Dominic Toretto shoots a flaming ball that is also a bomb down a bridge in Italy. It's great. It's wonderful.
That is a good movie. Yeah, I definitely recommend that. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
John Cena shows up and then he dies immediately. I shouldn't say that. Cut that out.
Spoilers. Wow, he's not dead though. He's not.
He's not dead. He's gonna be fine.
He's gonna be fine.
It's a car crash. No one dies from a car crash in fucking these movies.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, that reminds me. You remind me. When I was leaving work today, there was a car in front of me. Mm-hmm. Had a fucking custom plate that said Skulls, was really badass car, and he had a Rip Paul Walker sticker really big on the back of his window. Aww, and I was like, no, man. That guy's a real one. That guy's a fan right there.
Oh, it's a true gamer.
Do you think they're going to have a Paul Walker stand-in in the last movie? Just probably. Like, you know what I mean? He'll just be kind of staying around. It'll be like, well, what is it last time? Like, it was his brother who would like get the stand.
Yeah, they had his brother to finish 7. They brought his brothers in and kind of, you know, just kind of like, we're gonna shoot these scenes and you know,
they basically we're gonna make like, it work. B-roll from the previous movies, kind of stitch it together.
Yeah, and they made it work as well as they possibly could, you know. And I don't think they actually have used a stand-in really much after that. I know that the end of like Fast 9, they make this big deal about him coming to the table tea dinner, but they don't actually show him, I think. Maybe because it's zoomed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, here comes the last guy at the table. And then
you see
here comes the car,
up.
And you just see Vin Diesel's big grin on his face. And that's it. That's the end of the movie.
There's a really funny moment at the start of Fast X where, like, in kayfabe, Brian is just, you know, he's away with his family.
He's on his
own. You know, he doesn't want to get involved anymore.
His own planet needed him.
Yeah. But Dom, even though Brian's not dead in the movie, he still looks like longingly at a picture of Brian, and he's like, I miss you. I can't believe you're gone in a different country.
He's not even in a different country. Like, his wife just, like, shows up in the movie. So, yeah, he's just busy with his job and shit.
I mean, it's very sweet. I do like that they do stuff like
it's,
that.
It's
but
good. Every time there's a movie, they say, don't worry, Brian and the kids are okay.
They're just off camera being fine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Star Trek. But this is a Star Trek podcast, by the way. We can talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. Yeah, we have a very we got a fun and wacky episode for you to come back from our hiatus with. No, it's a good episode, but it's not fun and wacky.
Can we just talk about Street Fighter instead? Talk about World Tour Mode.
We could talk about Street Fighter. This new Street Fighter's out. We got to talk about that. No. This isn't a video game podcast, even though we talk about video games every
time. Jerry's texting me though. It's important.
I haven't even got her as a master yet. I just got Cammy.
Yeah, I also have not gotten to her. I just got beat up by her, and then I was like, oh, hi, Blanca. I guess I'm going to you now.
Yeah, she beat me up harder than anybody else has beaten me up in this game, except for this fucker in the first tournament you run into. Have you fought this guy yet, Hayes?
I've not done the tournament yet, no.
Oh, he's got a fucking hurricane kick, man.
You got to block it. You got to block it and then punish him.
I can't. I'm not good enough. He beat me 12 times.
No.
I lost all my miles. Okay. Anyway. We're going to talk about the drumhead today. I know it's been long awaited because we've been on hiatus, but it's finally here, the drumhead. Now, this is a very serious episode of the show, and it has important messages, and it just is not funny.
It is, as these episodes go, is about as preachy as it gets.
Yeah.
Outside of season one, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but it's preachy in it's important stuff that they're preaching. No freedom, not witch hunting.
It's good. It just has a case of Picard gives a speech and everyone realized how base he is. And that's the conclusion.
I'm a fucking mark for that shit though. Like every time that happens, I'm like, yeah, Picard, yeah.
Yeah, get their ass.
He really got their ass, though.
He really got their ass.
He was very clever about it in his getting his ass thing. And the performances are great, too. We have, who is her name? Admiral Sati, played by Gene Simmons, who's a very storied actress and who's been in a bunch of old movies I have not watched, but she's great.
Not Gene Simmons from Kiss. Gene with a J.
Why did they have the same name? That's fucked up. But no, she's a great actress, and she does a great job in this role. And
she's
also
the standout person of this entire episode. I think she's the one that really makes things kind of connect together. Her performance just kills it in this episode.
Yeah, but even like the kid, the Simon Tarsis, the little crewman, who's on trial in this, like he's great too. Like his performance is really also good.
Perfect. Like you know, like. He's getting interrogated, and he's really nervous, and he's tripping over his words in a very realistic way. And I like that. Usually you don't see that. You see people say their lines, but no, he did it. He did it good.
He acted the hell out of his role, and he did a good job. And then like when he was having tea with Picard too, it was just very like, oh, I just want to give this guy a hug. Poor guy. He's having a rough time. His career is destroyed from this witch hunt.
Well, you know.
Okay, I know you want to talk about Street Fighter Haze, but let's talk about the drumhead. I'm sorry.
I'm ready for the drumhead.
All right. You say that. We're not going to hear from Haze for the next hour.
You block drumhead. It's -10. It's punishable with a number of moves.
Just tell me how to cancel a fucking move into a combo. I have no idea how to play this fucking game, Haze.
So you have to make sure you're pressing a normal that you know is cancelable into a special move.
Yeah.
Do you what button are you? We're not getting into this right now. Let's talk about the drumhead.
I'll ask you later about it. I know and I know the answer is already is that I just need to practice the moves and get them down. And that's all it is. Like, I'm just not performing them fast enough. And that's why. Anyway, The Drumhead first aired on April 29th, 1991, was written by Jerry Taylor, directed by Jonathan Frakes, which this is probably the best Jonathan Frakes directed episode we've seen, honestly. Like he really kills it with this one. It's good. In Universe State 447.69.2.
I was wondering where Riker was.
He was behind the camera. Soul year. Just
behind the camera.
2367. And then this is the one where there is a fucking witch hunt aboard the Enterprise for a conspiracy. They discover a saboteur and a spy on board. And so this retired admiral comes and helps them, quote unquote, uncover this conspiracy. So, oh, the guy who played the Klingon spy, too, was also pretty good. I liked his performance as well.
Yeah,
it wasn't standout, but it was pretty solid.
Yeah, he did the part. It was a bit of a bit part, and he did it. So there you go.
He bit that part good.
He bit it with his Klingon teeth.
Yeah. Also, we had some good Worf moments, even though they weren't like comical Worf moments, but it was still like Worf learning lessons. Worf learning valuable life lessons in this episode.
Glad Worf got to do things. They are. I've been bemoaning the lack of things Worf has been able to do lately.
Worf. This is an episode where we've got a lot of Worf, but it's not a Worf episode. So there you go, Hayes. What more do you want?
No, I'm happy. I want more of this, dude.
Yeah, I do too. I love when Worf gets to be Worf, you know, in all of Worf's capacity, not just
he gets funny to be Worf, and also he's not just doing a fucking comedy role again.
Yeah.
They've kind of flanderized Worf a bit this season, where he's just kind of there for comical, for you know, to kind of play the sort of oblivious, serious guy.
Which
he's really good at, but it shouldn't be like his like sole trait.
Yeah, no, exactly. Same with Data too. Like the Data's really good at doing those comedic bits, but they need to have him like also do other things. And they need to, I think they're finally realizing that they need to do that more with Worf and not just make it a whole fucking Klingon episode.
Yeah.
Let Worf exist as a person.
Yeah, you're right. Cause I'm glad you brought that up. Cause like current season Worf for a bit has kind of felt like season one Data, where it's just kind of like, just like, you know, laughing at how goofy his character can be, which is like, I'm glad to have those moments, but yeah, we just let Worf do things.
Yeah. It makes you appreciate them more. Cause Michael Dorn's comedic timing is fantastic. Like in Cupid, that was the highlight of Cupid, was his lines. But, but he needs to also be a person, cause Worf is a good character and they need to use him in that. And I think they do that well in this one, because they really like, the story in this episode, even though it's not like a fun, goofy adventure episode, it's really solid. And I like the way they used Worf and Worf's backstory for this too. So anyway, let's just get into it. So there's a scientific exchange program where they've got this Klingon scientist aboard whose name is Jadan. And but they have suspect that he has sabotaged the warp core and that he has leaked information to the Romulans, leaked technology to them. So they're interrogating him. It's Riker and Troy interrogating him in this hearing room that we have just now learned that the Enterprise has, I guess.
Just got built Saturday.
Yeah, like they had Measure of a Man. This was not the room they were in Measure of a Man, is it? I don't think it is.
I don't know. The room in Measure of a Man was a lot more of just sort of a standard like conference room style room. This is very clearly like a sort of like hall with like a hot seat and everything.
Yeah, and it's a weird design for the Federation too, to have this fucking hot seat in your like an interrogation room with a hot
seat. Yeah, it's a little spooky in a
way. Yeah, which feeds into what this episode is about really well. So I mean, I imagine that's why they built the set, but it's odd for the Federation. Mm-hmm. So they're interrogating though. They're saying, hey, like the Romulans got a hold of these plans to the warp core. How did that happen? And he's like, I had nothing to do with it. I don't know what your fuck you're talking about. You know, you're just accusing me because I'm Klingon. And they're like, well, our chief of security is also Klingon.
Terrible, thing to say, by the way. Doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. You can still be racist. Even if you know, even if you have a black friend, you can still be racist.
I can't be biased. I don't hate this guy.
And he's like, well, if you think I did it, why don't you just send me home if you don't trust me? And Riker's like, well, we already contacted the Klingon High Council, and you'll be sent home as soon as we finish our investigation. But for now, Worf, can you please escort him to his quarters? And Riker's like, hey, Troy, do you think he did it? Like, Troy's like, I can't tell, man, but he's definitely hiding something. It's hard to say. So on the turbo lift, we get this Jadan is like hassling Worf for being excommunicated from the Klingons or whatever. He's like, oh, your name is not spoken. That must be very hard for you as a warrior. And he's like, you know, if you help me get to a shuttle, I got some powerful friends back on the Klingon homeworld. I could put in a good word for you.
I like he just says, I have friends.
He says they're in high places or something.
But he continues, powerful. But it's a good screenshot.
When I have friends.
I have friends.
And later on in this episode, somebody says they don't have any friends. It's really a contradiction. No, that does happen, though. But so Worf lets him into his quarters, and immediately, as soon as the door shuts, like slams the guy in the face with his elbow, like chokes him. And it's just like, I don't know how you got that information to the Romulans, but you're going to die a slow death to the Klingon High Council when they find out about this. Like, he's just not having his shit at all. Because, you know, okay, if you've forgotten, Worf has this whole thing with treasonous Klingons and the Romulans, where his father was accused of being a Romulan collaborator, and that's why he's been kind of dishonored from the Klingons. But it's not true. It was somebody else. Remember that? That's your backstory. Previously on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Previously on.
That did happen.
We get this little log from Picard saying that Starfleet's sending former Admiral Nora Satie, who's played by Gene Simmons, not Kiss Gene Simmons, to investigate this breach of security. And so he's meeting her at the turbolift. And he also mentions that she was instrumental in investigating the alien conspiracy against the Federation 3 years ago, which I'm pretty sure is the only other mention we get of conspiracy in this entire show.
I was like, yeah! Remember that? Remember that one?
I had to look this up and be like, was she in that episode? I don't think she was in that episode. Why are they bringing up the conspiracy? Why the fuck did they bring up conspiracy?
Continuity is important.
I'm glad they did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, just putting the idea of conspiracies into our brains. This lady investigates them.
She fucking loves conspiracies more than anyone on Twitter.
She wants to destroy him and tear him apart. But no, she's here and she's brought two of her former staff. One's a Betazoid and one's the alien lady who doesn't say a lot. And she wants to get started right away, so they go to engineering. And the warp engine is still sealed off because of the contamination from radiation, and it'll be a while before it's cleared up. But they show her a visual log of what happened, and basically the warp core just goes boom. And they're like, yeah, we have no reason to think it was a natural failure. Everything was happening just fine before this. Like, everything points to it being sabotage. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, damn, we need to get a full briefing before we can go on. So Picard treats her to some tea in his ready room. And he expresses his concern about a potential alliance between the Klingons and the Romulans. But she's very like, oh, I can't tell you everything I know from Starfleet intel, but we are aware of why you think that. And they're interrupted by Worf, who comes in to tell Picard he has found the way that Lieutenant Jadan has sent information off the ship, which is the most stupid fucking...
Okay, goes so crazy. What the fuck?
Okay, so here's how it is.
Okay.
So the guy has a condition where he needs to get shots from a syringe, right? So he's got this syringe that's perfectly normal, but there's an optical scanner that can read Federation lithium data chips and convert them...
Okay, so, like, I was on board with it, right? Like, as they go on, it gets crazier. But at first I hear it has, like, you know, it has, like, a data reader on there, an optical reader, which can be used to scan computers. And I'm thinking, like, okay, so he's just disguised, like, a USB drive onto a fucking syringe. Fucking sense. No, that makes too much sense.
No, it takes the computer information and it converts it into a protein sequence.
Yeah,
it converts it into amino fucking acids,
which then can be injected into somebody's body with or without their knowledge.
And okay, like I like accepted the amino acid thing. I was thinking like, okay, that's crazy, but sure, whatever.
But no.
The idea of injecting someone with data, Johnny Mnemonic style, was fucked me up so hard. Like, what are you talking about?
They just went into so much detail about this thing that's not even that really significant for the rest of the episode. But
it's the planet after this line.
It was so good. We said there was no comedy in this episode, but this bit was very funny.
I want to know more about this fucking syringe. That doesn't make a damn lick of sense, and I love it.
It's like, hey, can I use my own personal syringe for all of these injections? And they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, hold on. I forgot my password. I'll only get my password list out real fast. Tie my arm off, get the syringe out. All right, here we go.
Well, I mean, and that isn't even the case, too, because he was also going to the sick bay for injections from their syringes. So he just had this syringe and nobody really thought about it. Like, oh, yeah, I guess that's his backup syringe. I don't know. But Satie is very impressed with Worf, and she asks him if he would lead the interrogation against Jadan. And after he leaves, she tells Picard, like, I think he's going to be very valuable in this investigation. I predict that.
She looks at Worf like he's the hottest guy that's ever existed.
And she'd be right.
Kind of right.
No.
Have you seen those ridges?
Some pretty good ridges, you know. you gotta compare him to other Klingons and their ridges, and his are way better.
Yeah.
He's got very Klingon that has some
gross ass looking ridges. His are clean.
Yeah, you seen that Gowron guy? Man, that guy.
That guy's fucked up. you don't want to be near those ridges.
So we cut to Worf interrogating Jadan, and he's just, you know, doing his Worf like, I hate you. But he confronts him with the syringe, and Jadan basically cracks immediately. And he's just like, the Federation is weak, and it's making the Klingons weak, and the Romulans, they're strong. They're never going to make weaklings like you. Like, he just immediately folds. And Satie asks him about sabotaging the dilithium chamber, and he's like, oh, yeah, I didn't do that. He's like, yeah, I got no involvement. I'm not lying. I didn't have anything to fucking do with that. And her Betazoid aide, Sabin, what the fuck was his name? Anyway, he says, oh, yeah, he's telling the truth. He had nothing to do with that. So they're like, damn, there may be another saboteur on board.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's a conspiracy we have to investigate.
We've already done this.
So
this is a way worse conspiracy episode than conspiracy. There aren't even any bugs in it.
I missed I do wish that sometimes TNG would have episodes like that randomly, but it just doesn't. You know, they cut that out of its system. I learned that
there's a lot of people that fucking hate conspiracy. Like,
it's a terrible episode. I mean,
hate it, and I don't know how you can like dislike it that much. It's just a good time.
It's fun. It's so fun. It's like, it's a bad episode, but it's bad in a way that's super entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Remember when they just shoot that guy?
You're right.
Yeah, that guy gets blown the fuck up.
That guy ain't coming back from that one.
No. That guy's dead. But Picard and Satie have tea, and she confides to him that at first she resented him being assigned to her on this because she likes to work alone. But she's like, oh, but now I see that I was wrong, and we're going to be a great team. We'll work together great. And they also talk about her father, who was apparently this big head hotshot in the Federation, Judge Aaron Satie. Like, his writings, his judgments are all required reading at the Academy and stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, he was the greatest man, and I owe everything to him. Everything I am, I owe to him.
This is where she talks about the worst family I've ever heard of. She says, every night at the dinner table, my father would make us do a debate, and he wouldn't let us leave until we had debated properly.
That explains why she's so... That
explains why she's so...
Yeah, and she's like, oh, and he had a stopwatch too, so we would learn brevity. She's like, god damn, dude. All right, so Worf is working alongside Sabine, the Betazoid aide, who's and presenting him with a small list of friends that Jadan made aboard the Enterprise, or like people that he was around for a possible interrogation. And the aide tells him, like, oh, you've done really good work here. And Worf says, yes, I'm highly motivated about this. And the aide goes, yeah, no, that surprised me. And Worf's like, well, what do you mean? Like, well, when I learned about your father, I thought you might be a security risk. And he's like, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's like, no, it's fine, because you have my and the Admiral's full confidence in this mission. Like, we really believe in you. You're fantastic. A+. So they continue interrogations the next day, and they're asking Dr. Crusher about Jadan coming in for injections, you know, standard stuff. Like, say, did he ever like say anything that seemed suspicious now that we know he's a spy? And she's like, no. And it's like, oh, other people gave him the injections, huh? Okay. So they excuse her, and they bring in this young crewman, Simon Tarsis.
In my notes, I refer to this guy as crewman Young Sheldon.
No! So mean. What's wrong with you? So mean. mean?
He's so small and nervous.
He's so nervous. He's
a little guy.
He is a little guy with little elf ears. He's cute, a little half elf. But they're like, oh, so you were born on Mars colony, huh? Does that mean you're human? And he's like, oh, mostly. My paternal grandfather was Vulcan. And we do see his little half elf ears, and they're very adorable. And he's like, yeah, I gave him his injections. He didn't say anything. I maybe saw him in 10 forward, but we didn't really talk. He was just there. I was there. So they let him go. But as soon as he leaves, and he's super nervous the whole time, too, like super nervous. And they let him go. But the Betazoid aide immediately says, like, oh, yeah, he's lying. He's deeply afraid and he's covering something up. Like, we need to watch this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Picard and Satie talk in the ready room. And Picard's like, I am not going to restrict this guy's movements solely based on a Betazoid's feelings. And she's like, well, don't you use your Betazoid counselor in the same way? And he's like, yeah, maybe I should reevaluate that because it's a little fucked up.
Here's my question. This guy's a full Betazoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't he be able to just know what he's lying about or what he's thinking?
Yeah, he should just read his mind, but, you know, we forgot about that when we wrote this episode. So
don't
worry about it.
It's fine. They should have got, like, a three-quarters Betazoid, you know, damn. So...
Well, I think my understanding of the Betazoids is that, like, they're not all that powerfully psychic. Like, there's a range of them. Like, we talked about that in Tin Man, where that one guy was, like, super, super duper psychic. And I think Troy's mom is a really powerful psychic, so she can read thoughts really well. But I don't think all Betazoids have that capability.
Okay.
So I'm defending the writers here for getting that Betazoids can read minds, but I don't think all of them can read minds as well as, like, Loxana can.
I'll allow it.
Loxana should get a job doing this shit, but she probably wouldn't have any.
She should not get a job doing this shit.
She's very busy having the rings of a loon.
Whatever it is. Well, also her psychic sense is fucked up with her, like, wanting to fuck everybody. So she just thinks everybody's thinking lewd thoughts about her all the time.
Just have her interview people that don't want to fuck her.
She thinks everyone wants to fuck her. It doesn't work.
Have her interrogate the fish people.
Oh, that would work. Yeah, that would work fine.
Yeah.
She could read them like a book, man. She got that right away. I miss Loxana. But good news, the next episode is a Loxana episode. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, yeah, it's like the best Loxana episode, too. I'm excited. Anyway, so Sati's urging him, like, this guy could be a saboteur. You don't know what he's capable of. Like, yeah, he's not proven to have done this yet, but what if it's too late by the time we actually find the proof? And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, we're not going to restrict this guy's movements based on just this. I'm sorry, we're not doing it. But LaForge interrupts them with a message from engineering saying that they have something interesting to show him. So they both go down there to the warp core. They Data and LaForge have finally been able to get in there to investigate. And they're like, yeah, so we found out that there were actually microscopic fractures in this structure here that was just replaced when we had it serviced. And I think this is actually not sabotage. This was just a fucking accident, turns out. Whoops.
Oh, man.
Whoops.
This is also, I think this is the part where we first... We get our first little hint that this admiral is bad, because she's like, Picard's like, I'm not doing this. We don't have any evidence. She's like, oh, come on, we're gonna have evidence. You just gotta wait.
Yeah, she is like so fucking desperate just to get shit started.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then it really clinches it in the next scene after we find out that this was just an accident. This wasn't sabotage. They have this meeting in ops, and Satie just says, like, well, even if this wasn't an act of sabotage, there's still a conspiracy on board. And everybody's like, what? What? Huh? And somehow Picard goes along with this. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
The logic just gets destroyed immediately. But they're like,
I think he's just like, he's outranked, right? This is an admiral. This isn't just like, you know, rank and file trying to like claim shit. He has to kind of go along with this and respect her opinion until he has like solid grounding to stop the investigation.
I mean, she's a former admiral and they're supposed to be partners in this, but I think that she's using her previous like admiralship to really flaunt that over him and to take that power. And it's understandable, and he has a lot of respect for her and also her father, but like, this is insane, Picard. Come on. The things she's saying. But they're like, oh, do you really think Jajan like got aboard the Enterprise and got this information and leaked it out without any help? And they're like, yeah, I guess that would be hard. I guess we should keep investigating, but let's keep it brief, okay? And they're like, oh, no, we just want to investigate Tarsus to establish his innocence.
That's true.
That's like, that's what that's they're true. Saying. Because somebody, Seven says, like, oh, I would like the Lieutenant Worf to help me continue to investigate Tarsus, you know, to prove his guilt or whatever, or something like that. And Picard has to remind them, like, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty, right? Like, oh, yeah, no, we just want to establish that innocence, you know.
I think here they say, do you really believe someone could come on board the Enterprise and do stuff without any help? And I said, yes, this has happened many times.
Yeah, it has because happened they like have 20 no times.
Security on this ship. They have no passwords or anything.
Worf does his job as best he can, but Picard will not let him put in the security measures in place.
I don't know. I think we can allow him access to the computer. What are they going to do?
What's the worst that could happen? Mm. What do you mean they leaked information to the Romulans? Fuck. Not again. So the next day, Picard arrives to the interrogation chamber to discover that without his knowledge, Tati has just opened it up to spectators. So there's like a fucking audience there to watch this poor kid get interrogated. And he's like whispering to her, like, I don't think this is a good idea. And she's like, no, this is better because people are behind closed doors. Rumors spread and the light of day is better to root out spies and saboteurs and stuff like that. And Picard's like, oh, OK. But Picard tells Tarsus that Riker has been assigned as his counsel in this hearing, should he be needed. And Tarsus is like, well, I don't need a counsel. I haven't done anything wrong. And so Satis starts by trying to get Dr. Crusher to tell them who she may have seen Tarsus and Jadon hanging out with in 10 forward. And Dr. Crusher's like, I don't see how that's relevant. And Picard is also says, like, hey, cut it out. Like, if you don't have a case to establish against Tarsus, we're going to stop this right here and now. And Sabin, the Betazoid aide, starts interrogating Tarsus, establishing that he had access to all the files and equipment in sickbay, of course, because he worked in sickbay. And he's like, and Tarsus is trying to say, like, well, everybody did. Like, we all had that access. And he's like, well, and the sabotage of the warp engine was caused by corrosive chemicals that came from sickbay. And Tarsus is like, what? And Picard is also like, what? Because we know it wasn't sabotage at this point. And Tarsus is like, well, I had absolutely nothing to do with that. And that's why this actor really, I think, is shining too, because he's just so earnest. Like, I had nothing to do with that. That had nothing to do with me. And Sabin's like, how can we believe you when you're known to be a liar? And Riker objects because he's like, hey, there's no basis to call Tarsus a liar. And Picard's like, yeah, he hasn't lied that we know of. And Sabin's like, we're going to establish that basis soon. And he's like, you lied on your application to Starfleet. And you said that your paternal grandfather was a Vulcan, but he was, in fact, a Romulan. And the crowd's like, oh, murmur. And Riker gets up and whispers in his ear, hey, don't answer these questions. Tarsus repeats, my counsel has advised me not to answer these questions because I might incriminate myself.
Riker is the only good lawyer. He really is.
Yeah, this poor kid, though, man. So
in the show, I'm sure there are many good lawyers in real life.
I'm sure there.
All of our lawyer listeners, I wasn't talking about you. It's okay.
Picard walks in on Worf, advising his security team on how they can fully investigate Tarsus. Like, yeah, let's first fuck up this guy's life. You should watch all of his movements. You know, you want to check all his personal records, all that shit. And so he tells Worf he needs to speak to him alone, and Worf dismisses his crew. Picard just sits down, and he's just like, you see what's happening here, Mr. Worf? This is not unlike a drumhead trial. And Worf's like, I do not understand. And I'm also like, I do not understand. What the fuck a drumhead trial? So luckily,
don't worry, they'll let you know.
Yeah, Picard explains to us that a drumhead trial is like, he's like 500 years ago, which would be, what, 200 years ago? In a battle, a military officer would just upend a drum and declare a trial. And the justice was swift and appeals were denied. And basically anybody who came up to the drumhead was doomed. Like if you were called up to that drumhead, you were just fucked. And Worf says, well, that's not the case here. You know, there was definitely treason on board. Jadon fucking admitted to it. And Tarsus basically did, too. And Picard's like, how did he do that? Worf says, well, he refused to answer whether his grandfather was Romulan. And Picard's like, Worf, that's not a crime, you dumbass.
Worf.
And Worf's like, well, the Federation has enemies and we have to seek them out. And Picard's like, yeah, but the road to legitimate suspicion and paranoia is shorter than we think. And something is wrong here, and I don't like what's happening here. And he just walks out. Worf just thinks. He has a think. So then we get this cute scene where Picard is having tea with Tarsis and saying, hey, tell me about yourself, you know? And so he's like, well, I always wanted to be in Starfleet. So I enlisted and I took the medical courses, you know, and I got assigned to several outposts. And then the day I was posted to the Enterprise was the happiest day of my life. And Picard asks him, well, did you ever think about going the full distance and just enrolling in the academy? And he's like, well, I thought about that. My parents really wanted me to, but I was, you know, 18 and I was eager to go out into the stars. And he's like, that's all over now because my career is just finished because I lied on my application. And it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Poor kid.
Shouldn't have lied.
Shouldn't have lied. Should have just told him, yeah. How did that happen anyway? I got questions.
How did that, like, get through, like... Because I feel like in the future, there should be so many redundant ways of verifying someone's information.
They would, you know, it would come up on his physical.
Right? I think Vulcans and Romulans are similar enough that probably it does blend. But, like, also, I'm just wondering... How is his grandfather a Romulan? Romulans have basically no contact with the Federation. So was his grandfather a Romulan spy? Like, is that what it was?
You know. Remember that one Romulan who was not as bad as the other ones? Maybe it was that guy.
He's still not allowed to be in the Federation, though. Like, he must have been a spy. There. That's the only way. Anyway, so
what if he was coming over for secret romantic trysts?
Oh, he just fell in love with a human and they had to be together. That's actually kind of romantic. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
All Romulans are evil. They would never fall in love with a human.
No, they're not. They're like humans.
So if you want to see Romulans, you can watch Star Trek Picard.
There's Romulans. Is it good? Like,
I don't know yet. I don't know. I started from season 3 because that's the one with the Next Generation people, and I heard you don't really need the previous seasons. So I watched a few episodes of that. I was like, I'm going to check out season 1 of this and see if it's good because I kind of like this. And then I watched season 1 episode 1. I was like, yeah, I kind of like this. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to watch the TNG movies so that I have context for Picard season 1. So I'm working on it. I'm working. It might be good.
Maybe I'll watch it then. Because I do really like the Romulans. And one of my complaints about TNG is that they don't have enough Romulan in there. You know, because they have the potential to have so much Romulan and they just don't do it.
Enough. Well, this is after, if you recall, the 2009 Star Trek movie. They did a reboot by having the Romulan star explode, which caused an alternate timeline to happen and all of that. Mm-hmm. But this, so Picard is after that when Romulus has been destroyed and the Federation is like, we don't like you guys. We're not going to help you. And so that is part of the show.
I guess I didn't know the timeline of that well enough to know that the explosion of the Romulan star was actually in this timeline.
Yes.
Okay. That's confusing. All right. So Tia's telling her aide that doesn't talk much further things to do to fully investigate Tarsis and really fuck this guy's life up. Walking down the hall, like, oh yeah, we found out he's got a brother on Mars. You want to interview him? And like everybody that he went to school with at the academy, you got to talk to them. It's like, god damn, dude. And Picard comes up in the hallway behind them where they're having this conversation, and she's like, yeah, can I have a word with you in private, off the record? And she's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So they go to his ready room and immediately cut to her saying, like, that's inexcusable, because he wants to stop this entirely. Like, he wants to stop these proceedings. He's like, this has gone far enough. You know, this is ridiculous. This is an innocent guy and we're just investigating him for no fucking reason. And she's like, well, no, I'm not going to stop. In fact, I've actually been in contact with Starfleet Command this whole time. And Admiral Henry Thomas is coming aboard and he's going to watch all these hearings. We're going to expand these hearings. We're going to get to the bottom of this and interview fucking everybody on the ship. And you can't do anything to stop it. Neither, neener. And she's like, if you try, I will destroy you. She just pretty much threatens him directly. Like, if you get in my way, you'll regret it. And he's just like, well, you know, what you're doing here is unethical and immoral, and I will fight it. And she's like, yeah, you do what you gotta do, buddy. I'm leaving.
She's getting a little bad. When I was rewatching this before, I had not noticed her zipper pull that is very large and is like a noose. And it's like, huh, that's weird.
I didn't think of it as like a noose. It's just supposed to be like a necklace pendant, but it's a zipper pull.
It's very large.
It is very large. Calling it a noose is a bit of a stretch, though. I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
So on the bridge, the warp engines are finally functioning again, and they're ready to go. Picard's just like standing there lost in thought, but he sits down. And then Satie's aide comes up to deliver him, very smugly, a summons. He is to be questioned in the hearing room tomorrow morning at 0900. So this is where Picard gets to do the speech, and I go, yay, Picard! Woo! Yeah!
Where I roll my eyes at the most Picard-ass Picard speech I've ever heard in my fucking life, as the camera dollies around him slowly, and I clap for him.
Yay!
I love this shit. I eat it up. So they begin the hearing with Picard wanting to make a statement, and Satie's like, well, there will be time for you to make a statement later, and he like quotes the law at her and says, well, actually, I'm allowed to do this, and she's like, yeah, fine, whatever. So he makes this statement about how these investigations against innocent people are bad, and he implores the Admiral to stop. It's a much more Picard speech than this, but it's just like, this has gone on far enough, this is ridiculous, etc. And instead she asks him, hey, did you know that you've violated the Prime Directive 9 times? Because that surprised the hell out of me. And he's like, yeah, all of those incidences have been reported to Starfleet Command, you know, they all know about that. And she's like, oh, we're looking into that very deeply. But they ask him, like, hey, what about Stardate so-and-so? And he's like, I'm beg my pardon? And they're like, well, we'll have to remind you, you were to escort a Vulcan ambassador back to somewhere, and this was what happened in Data's Day a few episodes back. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, she was actually a Romulan spy. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And so they're like, well, why didn't you try to apprehend her when the deception was revealed? And at this point, Worf stands up and he's like, the Enterprise could have been captured by Romulans, and Picard did the only thing that he could. And so they immediately turn on Worf, and Satie's just like, well, where were you when the spy was on board as the chief of security? And Sabine asks Picard, like, do you think it's wise to have a security officer whose father was a Romulan collaborator? And like, they just fucking decimate Worf here, because he believed in this shit. You know, he was on their side. He was helping them. And immediately they turn on him.
Yeah.
He kind of angrily steps forward towards them too, and like, he's going to beat up Seven's ass, and Picard has to like, Lieutenant Worf, no, shakes his head at him. Worf backs down. But the Satie then brings up Picard's abduction by the Borg and asks if he's completely recovered from that, and kind of implies that like, oh, you know, all those people that died, all the Starfleet people, that's all your fucking fault, dude. And we get the facepalm. Is this the facepalm?
No, it is not. The facepalm's already happened.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't remember.
It's a very large face palm, though.
It's a classic face palm. We get, but she questions his actions, his justice, and his loyalty. And he interrupts, and he says, you know, there are some words I've known since I was a schoolboy. And at this point, I really thought he was going to cuss her out, and I'm really disappointed.
That's what I thought he was going with this.
But no, he just quotes her father's words at her. He says, when the first link of a chain is forged, first speech censured, the first thought forbidden, the first freedom denied, chains us all irrevocably. And he's like, these words were uttered by Judge Aaron Satie as wisdom and warning. The first time any man's freedom is trodden on, we're all damaged. I fear that today, and she just fucking loses it. She goes off on him about how dare you quote my father's words at me. That you sully his name by speaking it. You know, I'm going to fucking destroy you. I brought down bigger men than you, Picard. Just fucking out of control. And you see, Admiral,
this is like the facade finally kind of like falls off of her. Like, you can tell that like she's doing this out of some kind of like vindictiveness or some obsession. She's not actually, she doesn't have a goal in mind with any of this.
Yeah, she's
so win.
It's just jingoistic like bullshit that she's just doing. And
she she kind of goes a little full Meghan McCain mode. She's like, my father was a very great man. I'll have you know, my father was great. And another thing, my father, he's great.
Yeah, and how dare you besmirch his name, whatever. And like the entire room is looking at her. Even her aides are like, are you okay? And the fuck, the Admiral Henry Thomas is looking at her like, what the fuck? And he just gets up and walks out of the room. And that was just...
that was, he didn't have a single line except to walk away.
He just made eyeballs at her and walked out of the room. It was perfect. But she just quietly says, I have nothing more to say, and sits back down. And Sabine's like, maybe it's now a good time to call a recess until tomorrow. And like literally everybody immediately files out of the courtroom except for her. And she just sits there looking like, I think I said too much. So this the episode ends. Picard is alone in the observation lounge, and Worf comes in to inform him that Admiral Henry has called an end to the hearings entirely on this matter, and since he has left the Enterprise. And he's like, well, that's good. And Picard's just like staring out the window, remarking like, we think we've come so far, and that the burning of heretics and witches is all in the past, but then we come so close to this again. And then Worf's like, man, I believed her. And I helped her. And I didn't recognize what she was. And Picard tells him that it's easy to spot the villains who twirl their mustaches, but those who clothe themselves in good deeds are harder to spot, which is a good preachy line. I like it.
That was a good preachy line.
It is easy to spot villains who twirl their mustaches. That's why they're so good.
And he's Worf's like, well, people won't be so quick to trust her in the future. And he's like, no, but people like her will always be among us. And we have to, damn it.
Among us.
That's the new "you just lost the game" is saying among us. So they must always be wary, and that's the price we pay to maintain freedom. So it is a very, very preachy episode, but you know, I always love it when Picard gives a preachy speech.
He does a big preach. You know, he's real preachy about it. He's good at the preach.
Yeah,
that's what they brought him in for.
Just such a mark for it. This episode, it's an all right episode. It's actually, if you read in the wiki, according to the wiki, it's one of Michael Dorn's favorite episodes, along with The really? Offspring. Yeah, so he immediately question his judgment
because it's Michael Dorn, my dude.
It's a favorite episode. He loves a
dry procedural, which I can respect.
Both of those episodes were directed by Jonathan Frakes, too, so I feel like he's saying that just to suck up to his friend.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're totally right.
Well, maybe, I love those episodes. Maybe he thought his friend is really good.
Okay. I respect it. This episode is not definitely not bad, though. It's definitely better than The Offspring.
It would have been bad if they didn't have Picard explain to me what the drumhead is, because otherwise I wouldn't have fucking had no idea.
Nobody knows what the fuck that... No, he's the only one in the history who's...
Picard's the only one who's just reading 18th century war books.
Studying up on the 18th century war, like, oh, it's drumhead trials. I don't know. Maybe people more learned than us know what drumheads are.
But dumbhead.
I'm glad that he just explained it to me. Because I'd have had to look that shit up. Like, what was that episode in season 2 or whatever... the ensigns of command or whatever, and it's like, what the fuck is this supposed to be referencing? Nobody explained that to us.
It's about Wesley.
It's like there's a name of a poem or some bullshit. I don't know. Anyway, Star Trek. So anyway, how do I cancel into a combo?
Combo breaker.
Yeah, I don't know. That episode, like, I know I've been quiet. I don't know. I have very little to think about with that episode. There's very little to talk about, I think. It's just Picard being like, uh-oh, Jingoism bad? ?
Yeah, it's not like...
There aren't that many, like, interactions, which sounds weird to say, but it's like, I don't know. I wish Geordi and Data maybe had a little more input on anything ever. It's mainly just people going around kind of just witch hunty style and with a random guy that we've never met before. I don't know.
No, you're right. And we talked about it. I think you said it is about the preachiest the show gets since season 1. And it is like, there's nothing to think about really or to talk about because it's just like, yeah, this is a person doing bad things and we agree that it's bad and everybody's nodding. Like, I just enjoy Picard giving a preachy speech. See,
look, this is all my friends are on the screen and there they are. I say, hello, that's Worf. Hi, how you doing? You really Worf the hell out of this one.
He did. We did get some good Worf in here, and they should just give us more good Worf. So yeah, that's basically. There's not much to say about this episode, really. I feel like we did not spend a lot of time talking about this episode. This may be one of the fastest episodes we've ever talked about, because we spent a long time talking about Combo Breaker at the start of this podcast, and I'll do it again too. God damn it! Let's go to Combo Breaker right now.
Are you fine for going to Combo Breaker next year?
I really want to. Yeah.
It's not even, it's still this year. You can't ask me that. I don't know.
I knew I was going back to Combo Breaker the day after I got back from Combo Breaker 2022. It's just a great fucking event.
I would like to go back as a competitor, but I do not think I will be ready to do that in a year. I'm going to be honest with you. Fighting games take a lot of practice, it seems like.
Well, I can help you take those first steps. After we're done recording, I can show you how to do a dang cancel.
Well, I know how. I can't do it. My hands don't do it, Hayes. That's my problem. I was just following along with the combo trials in the game. Okay, well, you won't talk about this on the podcast. Nobody wants to hear this. But next week, it's just good to be back talking about Star Trek with you guys.
Star Trek.
Like, it's not like I haven't seen you guys in a million years. We were just all hanging out in person last week, but podcast. It's good. It's fun to talk about Star Trek. And next week, we have a more fun episode to talk about because Lwaxana is there. We're going to be doing, what the fuck is the name of the episode? I forget. The Lwaxana episode in season 4.
Half a life,
yes.
I'm excited for this to be the best episode ever.
My favorite Valve episode.
Yeah, this is the episode where Gordon Freeman shows up. And seriously though, it's a good episode. I hope you enjoy it, Hayes. If you come in and say, "Oh, I hated this episode," I'm gonna just disown you. I'm gonna have no choice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway, thank you guys out there for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to us at beamedosickbay@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. Thank you, McFreeze, and thank you, Hayes, for being here to talk about Star Trek.
Absolutely.
We will we'll see you next week.
See you next time on Star Trek,
the Next Generation
Podcast.